Let's see, the mic goes on the outside. It's a right-handed mic. All right, if you will please turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It's going to be a little different for me this morning. This in 1 John chapter 1, everybody's familiar with these verses. You've heard preaching over and over and over and over again on these very same verses. So hopefully this will be a little different and it'll be a help to you. That's really what I want, is to be a help to you this morning, help you prepare. I mean, we're fixing to get into this thing again, looking for that pastor. You know, we want the right guy in here. Yes, amen. And so you want to make sure you're in a position to where you can see the right guy when he shows up.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, amen. So here we go. Start in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, here it is, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, here's the thing. Confessing our sins. I just want to be careful. We have visitors, so I don't want to be responsible for running people off. But I'm kind of a pointed guy, so, you know, let's just go with it, right? I'm not talking about going to the priest, kneeling down, doing the whatever it is that he does, and then you list off a bunch of sins that you've done, and he says, oh, you know, 3 Hail Marys, 4 rosaries, and blah, 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 and you're good to go. I mean, that's what they do, right? And I'm not talking about coming to the front of the altar and say, you know, look, he slammed me on this one. So I want to bring it up, and that's as far as it goes. You see, confessing sin, yes, it's right. And look, we got some people that believe, hey, my sin's under the blood. So what's the point? It's all forgiven anyway, right? Well, it is, in the sense that it no longer separates me from God, and I will go to heaven when I die. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. But sin, in the sense that, you know what, we're still no good, rotten, scumbag sinners. Mm. And we're doing wrong every single day of our life. That's right. Right. So it's that state or standing thing, and I don't really use that much because I get them confused. You know, let's see, what is state? So I just look at it this way. You know, I've confessed my sins, so I'm going to heaven. Now I need to confess my sins on a daily basis so that I can have fellowship with him. Now, all you parents know that when your kids don't do right, you're not real happy, and that's really not a good time for them to ask for a raise, right? No, it's not. It's not. So confessing our sins is something that we do, not so much for our salvation, if it's already settled in Jesus Christ, but it's our responsibility to admit that we've done wrong. See, that's what the confessing of sins is. You're coming to the Lord and admitting, you know, I mess up. See, when you're willing to humble yourself and admit you're wrong and ask forgiveness, which you've already gotten, by the way, and, you know, now you're in a position to where the Lord can comfort you, and he can do things with you and do things through you. That's when you're in that position. But I do want to make this statement, and then I'm going to go on. Your sins have been forgiven. The asking God to forgive your sins is for you. Because the sins are already forgiven. He just wants you to admit you've done wrong. So don't be afraid, and don't be, you know, look, I'm as bad as the next person when it comes to holding on to the mistakes that you've made in your past. I mean, look, I was saved a little bit later in life, so it's, you know, I had a whole lot more opportunity to mess up. And there's times, man, when the devil just puts his finger on it. Hey, you remember that? Yeah. And it happens to all of us. I mean, it just does. And we can't allow that. See, what he wants to do is he wants to paralyze us. He wants to stop us in forward motion as far as our spiritual walk is concerned. If you're caught up in, oh, man, what a scumbag. I've done this and I've done this. And he's already forgiven that. And you can walk in faith and you can trust him in his love for you. I mean, it's not like your dad. I mean, I had a great dad. And I'm not trying to disparage his name or anything. But he was a sinner just like me. And I think, how many times as a parent, your child comes to you and you got to discipline that kid, child, that kid. Come here, boy. Well, you got to discipline that child, and he doesn't really, he understands why he's getting disciplined, but then he looks at you like, does my dad love me anymore? Because, I mean, a lot of times we've had to discipline when we were pretty upset and disappointed. And, you know, when a kid sees disappointment in a parent's face, it's a heavy thing. Don't get caught up in that part of your relationship with God. I mean, God's not going to really be disappointed because he already knows what we are. There's no surprise when we mess up. And he doesn't wonder, well, why did he do that? You know, and he's not embarrassed. He's just, he knows why we've done things. He knows what we're made of. He knows what we're up against. He became a man so he could understand it more fully. So he understands that. But I want to get back on point here. All right. We confess our sins in order to keep our fellowship with him in verse 6. We confess our sins in order to stay clean with our God, verse 7. And we confess our sins in order to keep our judgment to a minimum at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look in verse 24. 1 Timothy 5, verse 24. I remember seeing this for the first time and I'm like, oh, wow. This makes so much sense here. Verse 24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Listen, the sins that we confess, the sins that we bring to the Father, the sins that we've committed are confessed. And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, it ain't there. Let me say that one more time. Okay, we're diligent in our life here on earth. We're humble and we recognize when we've done wrong and we want to have a clean slate with the Father and we want to have that relationship with him. And so we confess that wrong. It's done. When we go to the judgment seat of Christ, that's done. You know what's going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ? The sins we hadn't confessed. Now, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You do realize that, right? I mean, then it's not going to be a fun time for any Christian. So why do we want to make it worse? Oh, Brother Mike, what do you mean confessing so it's not worse? And, you know, you sound like rewards. Yeah. Who doesn't like to get paid? Yeah? No? Everybody likes to get paid. Okay. When the Lord promises rewards, I'd kind of like to get them. I don't want to show up and be naked and destitute. I don't want my stack of rewards that he has laid out for me. Oh, and by the way, that's going to happen. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, everything that he had for us to earn is going to be standing right there in a big old pile. And we're going to look at that and go, oh. Now the problem is, when he puts that white hot gaze and he looks at that thing and he's everything that's wood, hay, and stubble, so there's plenty of things the Lord wants us to have when we get to heaven. There's lots of rewards that he lays out before us to earn. It's just us, it's up to us to go ahead and grab it so we can keep it. And then when it's all done, we can throw it at his feet and rejoice. Amen. 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 All right, so before we can get into confessing our sins, we need to understand what we're talking about when it comes to sin. So turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 in your New Testament. And verse 4, which says this. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's pretty plain, right? We got the Ten Commandments. We know where God stands on a lot of things. So it's not, well, I just don't feel like that's wrong. I believe that I can listen to this kind of music and God will approve. I think it's okay to drink a glass of wine or two or three or six every night. I think it's okay. Well, who cares what you think? You know, I was talking to a guy. I'm not going to belabor this point. I'm just using this as an illustration. I'm talking to a guy who's a born-again believer. He's a church member. I love the guy. I mean, he helps. He's so helpful. And he's a giver. And you just, you know, if you know him, you love him. There's just no two ways about it. But he says, you know, my daughter, and she's starting to get into those teenage years. So my daughter's... She's hanging around a bunch of kids at a Christian school, and you know all the girls wear pants, and she wants to know why she can't wear pants, and she wants to wear pants. Well, he looks at me and he asks me a question. He says, "What's wrong with that?" I said, "Well, God does say that it's an abomination for a woman to wear the apparel of a man and for the man to wear the apparel of a woman." He says, yeah, but they're designed for girls. They're designed for women. You know, look, I don't argue those points anymore. I just don't. I simply ask the question, okay, so a man has designed a pantsuit for a woman. Does God recognize that? If you can say God recognizes that and he doesn't have a problem with it, but if you can't say that, then why don't you just err on the right side and don't wear them? I mean, you maybe we don't have all the answers to every question at this stage. But I do know this, if I don't have an answer from the scripture, I'm just going to go with what God has said. Does that make sense? Okay, I didn't lose anybody here. All right, his point was, well, in the grand scheme of things. Well, the grand scheme of things. What is the grand scheme of things? For us to love God and to bring glory to his name. That's the grand scheme of things. You know, his point is, well, she's saved. She's going to go to heaven. Okay. What's she going to get when she gets there? How's she going to feel when she gets there? How are you going to feel when you get there? Well, but Lord, I know you said this, but really? That's going to fly. You think that's going to fly? You know, if the Lord said it, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the Christian world says. If God has made a point, the point has been made. So we know that sin is a transgression of the law. We know that. We know this, the law is made up of the Ten Commandments. But turn to Matthew chapter 22, please. See, the Lord has kind of condensed that down for us into a main premise. Matthew 22, and look at verse 37. Matthew 22, 37 goes on to say that Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Here we go, verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Those two commandments. You can take those two and everything else that's been said hangs on those two things. Right there. So now when you start looking at confessing sin, you need to look at those two things first. And where does your life stack up when it comes to those two commandments? That's where you need to be at. See, yes, we should read our Bible every day. Yes, we should pray every day. Yes, we should be in church even more as the day approaches. Not less. We should be separated from the world. Yes. But how many times have you sat down in your prayer closet, in your prayer time, or before you read the scripture and you say, you know, Lord, I don't love you. I haven't loved you like that today. Well, you know, yeah, he wants you to confess the fact that you didn't do all the little things that us independent Baptist churches list out for you to do. I mean, we got just as many rules and regulations and no laws, quote unquote, as a Catholic church or the Mormon church. We got lots of things for to follow. And, you know, when you get in your prayer closet and you start listing all that stuff off, okay, that's fine. But God wants to know where you really are with these two verses. That's the important thing. Yeah, you can tick off a lot of things that you've overlooked or bypassed. But how about this one? Lord, you know, I didn't love the people I work with enough to pray for them today. Try that one on. You know, Lord, I know my neighbor needed some help, and I could have helped him, but I didn't do it. You mean that? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what he's talking about. Look, I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I want the Holy Spirit to do a work here. I'm just trying to get you to think past rules and regulations. Get past the, you know, oh, could have V8, right? Get past that, and let's get into the real meat of the situation. Confessing our sins is more than just tick, 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 tick. You know, Father, I didn't witness to anybody today because I didn't care that they were going to go to hell. I mean, why else didn't you witness? I mean, honestly. You don't witness because you don't care. I mean, if you cared about somebody going to hell when they die, I think you'd probably at least give them a track, yeah? You know, Father, I'm supposed to love you with everything that I have, my strength, my mind, everything. But you know, I didn't pray. I didn't pray for this brother over here. I know he's having issues. I didn't go out of my way to get in his way because I didn't love him enough. Now, we all have had friends. We've all seen people in church make decisions that have detoured them away from the church and detoured them away from a Christian life and a Christian walk. And how many times do we struggle within ourselves? Well, is it really, you know, should I really get involved? I mean, I'm going to pull this lid off and those worms are going to come out. You know, sometimes love is more than just, I love you, brother. I love you, sis. Give him a hug. Give him a handshake. You know, bring extra food to a cookout or, you know, whatever we have, dinner on the grounds. You know, love is more than that in a lot of cases. Like, love has responsibility. When I know you're not doing right, it's my responsibility to stand up and say, no. Now, I've used this illustration in the past, but I'll do it again because it just fits. I had one of the guys in the church where I'd gotten saved, and he had, and you'll remember this, he had that teenage, it was a teenage bar without the bar. And he had, and this guy's supposedly one of the big people in our church. And he had a whole bunch of centerfolds from Playboy that he had colored, no kidding, he had colored bathing suits with a black ink pen, you know, to cover the private parts. And he had them lined up. Oh, I mean, down the wall, all the way around the building. I said, man, why are you doing that? He says, well, you know, the kids come in, they want to see stuff like this. So I went to my pastor and I said, preacher, look, this is what's going on over there. What do you want me to do? Well, you know, he's so-and-so and blah, 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 and he gives so much money and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I know that he's got a thing over there, but, you know, we just, you know, everybody's got their. So, you know, I got in the Bible. I studied it out. I saw it. I said, okay. And I went to him, and I said, man, this is wrong. This is wrong. You're putting ideas in these teenage boys. I mean, teenage boys. Really? You want to put a half-naked woman on a picture in a wall on a wall where teenage boys are going to go? Just take a gun, okay? Just quick. But I went to him, and I pointed out, this is wrong. I don't think the Lord's involved in this at all, and you really need to pull this stuff down. Well, I got thrown out. And then I got in trouble at church because the guy quit the church. See, sometimes love is more than just kissy, kissy, handshake, and hugs. That's good. But that's where we need to be when we start looking at confessing our sins. So let's take a look at a couple of things here. Sins that need confessing. I'll start with the men first, okay? Come on, ladies. I'm going to start with the men first. Amen. When was the last time, okay guys, when was the last time you actually considered what God said or what God did for you and your salvation? Actually, this is for men and women. When was the last time you actually considered what God did for you and your salvation? Now I realize that we have the Lord's Supper. You know, we're talking about this is my body, and this is the wine is my blood, and I gave it for you. And you know, all those are very nice things to say. And we consider those things, or we're supposed to consider those things as we have the Lord's Supper. We're supposed to remember what he did for us. That's what we're supposed to do. It's not just something that the church does. It's something that when we come together and the grace is at a good place in the church, we have the Lord's Supper so that we can celebrate and thank God for what he did for us on the cross. That's what it's all about. But how many times have we ever considered what God had to go through in order for our salvation to take place? I mean, he gave up his most precious possession. He allowed his son, who was perfect, to become a human being, step down out of glory and become a human being, a dust kicker. He allowed him to be beat and mistreated and abused and lied about. He allowed that. He allowed them to nail him to a cross, and he watched this. This is his son. And then the worst thing of all, he allowed the filthy, rotten, scummy sin of the world to be placed on him, and he had to turn his back for the first time in eternity on his son because of that sin. Have we thought about that? When we thank him for what he did for us on the cross? Have we thought about that when we plan things out during the day? I mean, what he actually went through, what he actually did for us? You know, when our minds are in that place and our heart is in that place, it's a whole lot easier to make decisions about, well, am I going to go out with the guys after work? Right? What was the last time? No. When was the last time you loved your wife as Christ loved the church? Here we go. See, we all love women, you're supposed to submit to your husbands. We all love that one. But you know, right there underneath that verse, there's a couple of verses that say, men, you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, when was the last time you acted like you were willing to die for your wife? Oh, I know. It was when you bought that new fishing gear, she wanted something, and you said, we don't have the money for it. Right? Or you had to buy that new gun, but she needed something over here. Well, let's just wait on that. Come on, guys. Where's the amens? I see, I say fishing and hunting because I don't do those things. But look, let's just put it where it is. You're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church. When did that happen? Has it ever happened? And you want to know why we're having marital problems? You want to know why there's arguments in the home? You want to know why your wife doesn't submit? Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of that blame rests on our shoulders, gentlemen. But that's what I'm talking about. When was the last time you confessed that sin? That's kind of sin too. While we're talking about confessing sin, here we go, ladies, your turn. When was the last time you submitted yourself to your husband? And when I say submitted, I don't mean, you know, I have a discussion and the man says, we're going to do this. And you're like, okay, but I don't think it's going to work. Oh, yeah, now I got the lady's attention. Yeah. Oh, man, he's just making a mistake. Look, yes, a man and a wife should talk about stuff. I just got a new job. I work at night. So, you know, daylight's like, oh, okay. But we talked about it. We discussed it. We prayed about it. She took all the numbers, man. She wrote out all the numbers. You know how it is, ladies. Are you going to make, oh, yeah, oh, okay, we can live with this. But we had that discussion. I made a decision. She said, yes, sir. There were times I've made decisions that she said, yes, sir, knowing that this is going to be a mistake. But she said, yes, sir. We didn't argue about it. She didn't bring it up over and over and over again that I just don't think this is the right move. You know, ladies, like, I just don't think this is the right move. See, submitting is okay. His will, not mine. We discussed it. I gave the position. He doesn't see it. He has faith to go forward with this. Okay. Now, I know in this day and time, that's not a very popular thought. But if you can have peace in the home, and your home is going to run as God has intended for it to run, that's just the way it has to be. You know, we're not the... Look, most guys aren't the brightest bulb in the pack. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the sharpest blade in the drawer. But I'm responsible. See, I'm responsible. And ladies, let me just remind you. You're the one who said, I do. You see, I can say this stuff to the men all day, but boy, I tell you what, man. You start messing with the women. I've been married long enough to know I tread lightly. Tread lightly. All right, so here we go. We are to confess our sins. I'm not talking about confessing our faults one to another. Talking about confessing our sins to the Lord. We need to do that on a regular basis because we're sinners. If you want to have a good fellowship with God, you need to have him confess. You need to get him out of the way. But you need to look more at your heart when you start confessing sin. Compared to these two verses here. Because there's so much more than just, oh, I forgot to read my Bible today. Oh, I didn't spend more than 5 minutes in prayer. There's more than that. And your heart needs to be right when you go to confess your sins. I mean, we're not Catholics here. You know, we have an advocate. We can go to the throne. We can speak to the Father. And when we go to him, we're not going to kid him. What are we going to? We're going to sneak something in on God, really? No, we're not. So just be open and be truthful, not only with him but with yourself. Check yourself out. Compared to this, did I love God? How do I know I love God? Well, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's kind of an easy way to see things. But you need to go a little bit farther. Why didn't you read your Bible? Because I didn't think it was important. Confessing our sins needs to be done. Let's pray. Father, listen, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have instruction. Thank you that you love us and that you want us to be right with you. Lord, please help us to understand how important it is for us to confess our sins. With nobody looking around, I'm just going to ask this question. If there's somebody here that does not know that they're going to heaven when they die, they do not know, but they would like to know, and you'd like for me to pray for you, would you just lift your hand and just let me see? I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I would like to know. Anyone? Anyone at all? Okay, so we're all saved. How's your sin confessing going? It's time to get started. Got to have that fellowship. As we play, come down front and do work with the Lord. Just ask the Lord moves you. Let's get things done.